This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Shoaib Khuttin, with me Tan Chung Han, and with the top business stories of the day, we actually want to start with some breaking news.
All right, breaking news here. Singapore has penalized Credit Suisse and UOB following their two-year probe linked to 1MDB. So Credit Suisse has been imposed a financial penalty of 700,000 Singapore dollars, UOB to pay 900,000 Singapore dollars, and this is for breaches of anti-money laundering requirements and control lapses. So we are seeing a lot of activity in the regulatory space, you know, in relation to 1MDB. If you recall, you know, Singapore also earlier this year had banned that former Goldman Sachs banker. There was also Falcon Bank, which was ordered to cease operations in Singapore. So you got plenty of developments in the financial hub down south. The argument is that because many of those transactions went through Singapore, hence these controls or these penalties by the central bank down there. Then obviously, you know, here in Malaysia, the question has always been, right, why are we seeing a relatively, fewer instances of, you know, penalties.
Fewer is an overstatement. We have no. I think
that's debatable.
The case is closed in Malaysia, I think, as far as we know. The question is, now that, in fact, 1MDB is mentioned in the first paragraph of this statement from the Monetary
the
Authority.
Title even,
whether 1MDB and related individuals are going to be responding to this story this morning. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they make sense of this or whether they will remain quiet.
Well, there is a media statement from UOB. Unfortunately, I don't have access to it right now, but we understand that UOB has issued a media statement in response to the findings from the Monetary Authority of Singapore. Hopefully, our news team will get that at the top of the hour.
So the question is, will they be fighting it or will they be pushing on appealing this?
Right. No, but nevertheless, this is the latest development in a string of, you know, penalties that have been imposed in relation to that 1MDB saga. And these are all dished out by the central bank down there. UOB, Credit Suisse, the latest to be on the wrong end of the law down there.
Okay. Speaking about being on the wrong end of the law, as you put it, MBI International is in our crosshairs this morning.
All right, so MBI International, so apparently they have a virtual currency mall in Penang. And so though that has been raided by the authorities, their other premise in Ampang, that was also raided yesterday. Real quick, so this is a digital currency, or no, MBI International, they work in this digital currency space. And apparently, if you didn't know this, that digital currency can be used at the mall to buy a range of goods, everything from household appliances to even handphones. And apparently, that digital currency can even be used to partially pay for your cars and properties.
Okay, so it sounds like a bit of a gimmick. This M-Coin is exchanged for cash, and clearly, and I'm wondering about the, you know, the exchange rate, as it were, between the ringgit and the M-Coin. But then the thing is, you're offering clearly a bunch of goods and services at a discount. That's what attracts people. This would be like any of those schemes where you first have to become a member in order to enjoy those premium discounts and such. So I'm not quite sure how this is different from those other types of schemes.
Well, at least for one, we do know that they are on a watch list by Bank Negara. And MBI International is one of over 300 companies that are on that list. You can check out that list on Bank Negara's website. But just, you know, giving you some details on that package there. So if you want to subscribe to some of these packages, they have got packages ranging from $100 to $15,000. So quite the range there. But, you know, when you look at some of the comments that are cited, in the papers, this one's I'm reading from The Star. You've got this longtime MBI member, it goes by the name of Jeffrey, and he says this, and I quote, "This is not like failed money game JJPTR. MBI fulfilled its promises. What wrong has M Mall done?" And more being that digital, that virtual money mall. So, no, I think these kind of instances, when we see what's happening with MBI International, goes back to this, you know, very thematic argument that we often have here on the Morning Run, right? It's where, again, do you draw that line between letting market participants go about, you know, do their own thing, you know, willing buyer, willing seller, and all that jazz, versus, you know, the government and the authorities then having to intervene either preemptively or, you know, retroactively, right, for the greater good, right?
Well, you know, I think the line often is drawn through the law, right? So if this raid was illegal, if it stepped beyond the law, then the aggrieved parties, in this case the NBI, will have a chance, they'll have their day in court to make their case, right? But if they've clearly contravened the law, and I'm guessing the authorities wouldn't have acted in this way, wouldn't have raided the mall if they didn't have or didn't feel they had a strong case against the group. So I see this story as going in that direction and maybe testing the limits of our law rather than testing the limits of the question that you posed earlier, Han, which is about, you know, that paternalistic attitude of government against a much more freewheeling one where we all take personal responsibility.
Right, you know, because obviously the members of NBI International, as far as they're concerned, hey, you know, this money is good for something, you know, I'm totally okay, I'm willing to use that or part with my so-called real or traditional money for this virtual currency to buy, you know, goods. But now to address your concern there, according to media reports, NBI International is being investigated under several acts, among them the Direct Selling and Anti-Pyramid Scheme Act. So there is that regulatory framework, you know, that seems to justify these actions by the authorities, right? But then also there is this other instance in the local markets, which again warrants this discussion, right? And that being the very unfortunate robberies for Uber that passenger in Uber, right? And
I think with a lot of these kinds of disruptive businesses that we've, you know, the question has been, and we talked about Airbnb yesterday, about customer satisfaction, about the question of the experience, and the fact that the people who are part of the Airbnb world are not trained, they're not professionals, right? They don't get the training, they don't get the sense of professional standards and whatnot. Whereas with Uber, and Uber's the same kind of, planet, it's kind of getting people volunteering. You think it's simple enough, picking up a passenger, letting them down, but actually there's a lot that goes into it. And much of the regulation, or some of the regulation, is about that. But the question now, when we've stepped into criminality, I think this is so odd, because if you flag down a taxi on the street and got into it and they committed a crime, they robbed you, for instance, you would probably have less evidence against them. Whereas with Uber, there's an electronic trails. I'm wondering what is going through the mind of the Uber driver. Did he think he would get away with this?
But the fact that Uber, you know, up until now, is unregulated, at least here in Malaysia, that is one box that remains unchecked, right? As opposed to, you know, like you cited in the taxi services industry, you know, that box has already been checked. So you can say that, oh, those crimes are happening despite them being regulated. But here we find this position where, you know, the Malaysian Parliament is trying to roll out legislation, and they might, you know, when they reconvene in July, and this was what I began with, one of my first talking points when I did the grill with Uber in Malaysia. You can check that out on our podcast, on our website, bfm.my. But then, you know, so with this Uber instance, you find yourself on the other side of the argument then, right? Because with NBI International, everything's still hunky-dory, like Jeffrey says, no, hey, I'm good, you know, they have done no wrong, so what's the problem here? Willing buyer, willing seller. Then when you look at Uber, where, well, willing buyer, willing seller doesn't, that argument is being weakened now because of this very tragic instance of the robbery, and that resulted in a miscarriage, right? Yeah, so now many times the question has been posed, and should the government have intervened earlier, right? Should they have been regulated earlier, right?
No, yeah, okay. I think that sometimes the media also plays up these incidents, right? So it's important not to be driven by the emotive quality of this incident. Yes, it's tragic. Policy cannot be shaped on one incident. You need to look at general patterns, and you need to look at the implications. And I think that's the sober arguments, the sober discussion that we should be having.
No, I mean, and I totally get that also, but at the same time, you know, then it becomes really subjective, right? Where do you draw the line? Is it 5 robberies, 10 robberies, 20 robberies, and then we impose legislation, or is one too many?
It's not numbers. It's about systems. It's about system failure. And that is where I think you want to look as a policy. policymaker, not just, it's not the numbers of incidents.
Sure.
It, and though, you know, magnitude does have, tells you something about the system.
Right. But as it stands, you know, real quick, it, despite the self-vetting processes that Uber and Grab has, apparently that is being scrutinized by the authorities as well.
Okay, we're coming up to the news, and after that, we'll have the opening numbers in stock market and more analysis on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.